God gives abundantly in many ways. He gives daily bread, indeed without our prayer, all out of fatherly goodness and mercy, to mix not metaphors but catechism parts. We don't deserve it, but he gives, and gives richly. All things, and he would have us pray for them. It's a confessional position. It's in the catechism, even down to the most basic, the most mundane, that which will sustain us in this life. And then sustained, we await greater things, the forgiveness of our trespasses, and again God gives, a flood of grace that cheers, that overflows, even as we forgive others. He makes it happen. The one who gives the prayer gives the answers to the prayer, and he gives himself, God made flesh. There's a lot of giving in the text, in the reading for this morning. Luke has giving from a host of angles on this day when we remember the presentation of our Lord. Mary, the mother, and Joseph, the father in the legal sense, gave a couple of doves, the offering of the poor. According to the law, they dedicate to God this firstborn Jesus. God had given Israel her firstborn once, and he gave them again, in a sense, in the Passover, while Egypt lost hers. And ever since, Israel is expected to give, to declare these firstborn to God, and he will give them back again. And that's what they are there to do. Amid that giving, Simeon arrives and gives a song with the saving word, a song we still sing regularly with his words, and one we used and echoed this morning in the first hymn. The proclamation makes it worth repeating, even though it's an old song, for it's really ours too. The child in Mary's arms seemingly does nothing at the moment, and yet simply his being there is part of a larger work doing it all. Mary and Joseph are there to fulfill the law, doing what was commanded of Israel. And yet, as they carry on, this Jesus is there to put an end to just this law, to put an end to this and more. He would keep and fulfill, and it would be over, finished. He would burn the bridge behind him. And indeed, as Luther remarks, Moses is tot. Moses is dead, buried, and the law, the ceremonial and more, goes with him, and we do not live in fear. But in truth, salvation never was by the law anyway in the first place, but by trust in God's promises, a salvation that had come that way ever since the first day salvation was needed. Simeon knew it, he lived it, and he waited in promise, knowing that he would not perish, not be condemned until the embodiment of salvation would come and he would see it. And so then now he rejoices. And he says he can depart in peace. Though as he leaves, he tells us strife is to come, not just for Jesus personally, but because of who he is and what he stands for. For some would still cling to law then and now. This Jesus would be a sign spoken against. Not only he would bring a rising and a falling. He would be a sign spoken against not only for those who reject him outright, but by those who would cleverly co-opt him on their terms. But things will not act like that. They don't work like that. The sign spoken for the rising and falling, not just in Israel, but in a wider circle and on an individual basis, cuts through all efforts to hang on, to order matters as I would like them to be. He divides. The fallen human tendency is to take. Taking what's not ours is where the trouble began. Though God said, no, there's the taking of the fruit in Eden. Though even that's sort of small pickings, it's taking much more. God's honor, God's place, God's name, they would be like gods. And we are still on the take. But in contrast, God gives. And accepting the gifts forces a division. We've had a kind of unintended theme. We didn't get together and think of this, but it's happened this week. With gifts yesterday, or at the start of the week, we heard about the son promised to the woman hosting the prophet Elisha. It's in the Old Testament lesson for the week. A promise God was so intent on keeping that he gave that son twice, so to speak, just to make sure. Once when the woman was dead, so to speak, in terms of childbearing years, he gave, And when the son died, he gave again and brought him back from the dead. And through it all, there is no neutral ground, no living in middle uncertainty. She was promised a son, and she held to that promise. She believed the sign given so that when even he was dead, she would not let go. She put him up in the prophet's room, and then, not knowing what would be, she waited in faith, not demanding, not dictating, having no idea, but the man of God will do what is right. And God gave abundantly. In today's reading, there is more giving. The Messiah was long coming, but salvation was always given, always there. Along the way, signs and promises given for the rising of those who lived in faith. And now comes the promise incarnate. Simeon holds to the sign and comes down on the side of the rising. Mary and Joseph, though there to perform the law at bottom, also are on the side of faith and the rising. They embrace Simeon's word. And after this in the chapter comes Anna. She had been waiting, wrestling with God in prayer, and her persistence pays off, and she rises as well. Simeon, in our story, embodies the Old Testament, the epitome of that remnant that the God would not let slip away, let die, until the one promised would come. Simeon saw the child. He voiced the implication, the consequence. A child, yes, but more. This is salvation for him now, not in looking back, not in scanning the past, but in believing now what was there in front of him, in front of his very eyes at that very moment. And it is the same for us. Salvation is not in looking back in memory at some episode, not even looking back at the cross, but rather in knowing and trusting that the signs given, cross certainly, are there for us now, present promise. That's why we are saved. Mary brought doves, the offering of the impoverished, but in fact, in her arms, she had a lamb that no well-born could ever afford. Only God, who paid a price, indeed very dear. The lamb, Jesus, remains a sign spoken against, a divide. It is no inconsequential divide, six of one, half a dozen of another, flip a coin. No, no, there is a rising and a falling. Some think themselves capable of giving, but their life is death in the law and a futile effort to present themselves in God's temple. Others live in faith, faith alone, and they depart in peace. Just two religions, in effect, one of the law, the other of Christ's gospel. True religions, but one offering, the Christ himself, the Lamb Jesus. God works in law and promise. It's always the same in Eden, for Simeon, and for us. And even if no one else had need of this, as Luther reminds, we confess a love so deep that God would do it just for me and for me alone. He would be my salvation with all the giving and the doing and the promising through the ages, even giving of himself. Come down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man for me. For Simeon, for Mary and Joseph, for me, for each of us. By his grace given, we are with the rising. The sign divides, but with it comes certain triumph. In this sign, conquer. Like Simeon, we hold the promise, and we hear the promises attached. Cross, water, bread and wine bringing body and blood for you. And we have peace. It is good God gives. For many cry, peace, peace, where there is no peace, but the old rules are gone, dead, and buried. And as we sang and as we are about to pray, the presentation is for us. More than intellectual, it is existential and touches the very fiber of our being. Jesus brings radical change, a reorientation to and through him. It is not child's play. But a child is the key, the sign, the promise that sees us through. We rise to pray.